I don't know if you agree with this, but it seems to me like there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who carry noisemakers and those who are wounded by them. You know the sound. Now, I'm not talking about the plastic horns or the little things that you spin at the football game or basketball game. But I'm talking about the constant buzz and noise that we get in our culture today of opinions, of outrage, of commentary, of drama, of notifications, of crises, and all of the emotional whirlwinds of other people's lives. Some people live to be noisemakers. And silence, for some people, is worse than death itself. But St. Paul, in our scripture for this Lent, our theme scripture for this Lent from 1 Thessalonians 4, aspire to live quietly. The King James Version translates that, study to live quietly. Aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Last week we talked about that word aspire, to be ambitious. Kind of a paradox there. Be ambitious to live quietly. And what we talked about was that we live and we work and we labor not for applause, not for influence, not for noise, but we are called to be ambitious for quiet. Paul writes this because noise is not something that is harmless. Noise in our life is a spiritual battleground. The devil does not always attack us with open persecution. Often all that he does is turn up the volume in our lives. And remember what Scripture says about the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Or how about 1 Peter 5:8? The devil is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Do you see those images? Roaring. Noise. And when the devil increases the noise in your life, it becomes harder to hear God. And time in Scripture, God says what? Listen. Hear me. And the devil's not able to turn off God, so the devil cranks up all of the other noise in our life so that we can't hear the voice of God. In Dr. Ryan Tinetti's book, he observes, I'm going to give him credit for this, although I agree 100%, that the devil distracts us with tools that are really very ordinary. Constant outrage, endless commentary, comparison, envy, busyness that is disguised as importance, or fear about the future, or regret about the past. Taken individually, none of those seem to be really that dramatic. But the devil knows that when he brings all of those things together in your life, it's nothing but static. And there's nothing worse than listening to static. And that static drowns out the still, small voice of the Lord. The Thessalonians were struggling with, Paul actually talks about this specifically in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. They were busybodies. They were meddling. They were speculating. I know you. None of you know any busybodies. I don't know any churches with any busybodies. I know very few people who meddle. Do you know very many people that meddle? It's all noise. It's all noise. And Paul counters it with something almost embarrassingly simple. We talked a little bit about that last week. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, mind your own affairs. My dad would have been a little bit more succinct. Son, mind your own business. The noise that you and I are subjected to in this world, it trains the heart. And what happens is when we hear the noise, we live in constant reaction. And when we're constantly reacting against something, we lose the ability to discern. We become quick to speak and slow to pray. Sound familiar? James 1:19 says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Noise makes you the opposite. Worse, it fragments you. It divides you. It tells you that that person is the enemy, because one of the tools of the devil is to make you hate not him, but everyone else. Suddenly, other people's emergencies start to feel like your calling. Their outrage becomes your emotional weather, and you forget who you are, and suddenly you are the one railing against everybody on social media about an issue that truthfully most of us could care less about. Occasionally I'll get invitations to online debates or discussions. You can talk to Elder Mike, he'll tell you, I enjoy my occasional online debate, a fight or argument. I was raised in a rough neighborhood. Fighting is kind of how I blow off steam. But there's a time when I don't fight, because why? I got work to do. That's what I do for fun, not for life. I know that sounds weird. It's not my job to fix everybody's opinions. And occasionally I'll get a text or an email. Probably be less after I say this, but anyway. Sometimes I get a text or an email, Pastor so-and-so's arguing about the sacrament of the altar on social media. Can you get on here and help me fight this? No. Go spend some time with your children. Read a book to your kids. That's significantly more productive than debating somebody on social media about finer doctrinal points. Remember, you are baptized. You belong to Christ. You and I are not the saviors of the internet. That's the internet's way of keeping you hooked. You are not the fixer of every controversy. Noise destroys witness. And Paul says very clearly, I'm just preaching the Bible here, folks. Paul says very succinctly, live quietly so that you may walk properly before outsiders. And sometimes we confuse the idea of being a bold Christian with being simply a loud Christian. Boldness proclaims Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. I oftentimes include that in my own prayers with you in various groups when you invite me to pray at whatever meeting or event we're having. Noise, what noise proclaims? Noise says, look at me, I'm important, I'm wiser, I'm better educated, I know how I can fix your life. And none of that's true. Because we point to Christ, not to ourselves. But you see, that's precisely what the devil wants. The devil wants you to think that you're the savior of the world, that I'm the savior of the world. And because he cannot destroy your faith outright, he'll just simply distract you from it. Because if he cannot make you deny Christ, he will keep you so busy reacting that you forget to pray. Or you model a way of living that actually turns your neighbor off from Christ and slowly detaches you from Christ so that you despair of the grace and fall into sin. There's another kind of noise the devil exploits. Time. Some lived chained to yesterday. They worry about everything that they did last year, last month, 10 years ago, They replay failures. They rehearse their shame in their mind. Others, they only live in tomorrow. They're anxious about outcomes that they cannot control. Not a thing you can do, brothers and sisters, about what's going to happen in the world tomorrow. Not a thing you can do about it. You don't even know where you'll be in a year. You may not even be here. But that focus on yesterday and tomorrow only brings regret for yesterday and anxiety for tomorrow, and that is a powerful noisemaker. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." This day, our daily bread. And he warns in Matthew 6:34, with just a couple verses after what he said when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." Because you can't repent yesterday into a different outcome. Christ has already borne your sin. 1 John 1:7. And you cannot control tomorrow into obedience because it belongs to the Lord. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 15. Because the devil loves to pull you back and forward, keeps you off balance. And the devil doesn't want you right here in this moment. Anywhere but here. Don't pay attention to right now. Because in the present moment is the very place that God is actually speaking to you, his word, right now. The devil doesn't want you to hear the absolution. The devil wants you to wind you up about the confession. The devil doesn't want you to simply receive from the table. The devil wants you to doubt God's word and what he says about the table. The devil doesn't want you focused on your vocation as a husband, wife, parent, child, pastor, layman, elder, teacher, volunteer. Because that's stuff that you have to do right now. And you see, what noise does is it drags you out of the present. But by faith, we receive today. Because we know our past has been forgiven and our future belongs to the Lord, our faith calls us to live here, now, in this moment. Now, earlier I told you about how the King James, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I'm not sure which one is better, but I like that study. To live a quiet life. Because studying's hard, isn't it? And like studying, quietness does not happen accidentally. Paul says in the English Standard Version, aspire. It must be learned. And anytime something new is learned or taken upon yourself to study, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. Because in those moments when the noise stops, when you sit by yourself in silence, you meet yourself. And the truth is most of us don't like what we see because we see envy, we see insecurity, we see our craving to be noticed, and we quickly want to push that aside and say, certainly I'm not that. And see, noise hides all of that. Noise keeps you focused on everything else. But quiet, it reveals it to you. But that's not where the devil wins. This is where Christ meets you. David writes in Psalm 63, which was our psalm this evening. Ironically, David writes this psalm in the wilderness. He's by himself. O God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. The beautiful thing about the wilderness is that it stripped David of noise. And in that silence, he discovered something deeper. And I know you're going to go, oh, that's the word of wisdom. Yeah, here it is. God is enough. God is enough. The prophet Zephaniah gives one of the most tender promises in Scripture. The Lord your God is in your midst. Now, mind you, if you want to know more about Zephaniah, come to my Bible class on Monday mornings with CCLS. Zephaniah has just getting riled up to pronounce all of God's judgment upon God's people. And before he does, he gives them a little bit of hope. He says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you, not exalt you, exalt over you with ironically loud singing. Ironically is my word, not Zephaniah's word. Because you see, the world roars, the devil distracts, but God sings. The evil one amplifies chaos so that you cannot hear, but the Lord quiets you by his love. You see, the quietness that Paul is calling us to, that the Word of God is encouraging us to embrace, it's ultimately about Jesus. Remember all of those instances in the life of Christ before Pilate? Matthew says Jesus gave him no answer. And Isaiah foretold, like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Those are the concluding words at Good Friday service. The world shouts, leaders plot, crowds rage. And Christ doesn't react to a single accusation. He steadily walked to the cross. And on that cross, the noise of our sin reached its climax. There was mockery, there was accusations, there was laughter, there was chaos. And then Jesus said, it is finished. And in that silence came salvation. Now, for us, for me and you, the risen Christ sings over you, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. He quiets you by his love. The devil's roar does not get the last word. So when the noise increases, when outrage multiplies, when comparison begins to creep in, when the fear of tomorrow begins to rise within you, recognize that as a tactic of the devil. And turn down the volume. Return to his word. Return to your baptism. Return to your vocation. Return to prayer. You do not need to enter every controversy. You do not need to win every argument. You do not need to manage every crisis. You know what you need to do? I need to do? Repent. Receive forgiveness. And simply live as faithfully as you can where and when God has placed you. Aspire to live quietly. Quietness is hard. I encourage you to find time to just simply sit quietly. And in that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, which is why we say, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.